Okay, I'm calling to order our school health advisory council meeting, May 8, 2024. It is 11:51. We have the majority of our council here today. We'll do introductions. I'm Terry Hagler, assistant superintendent and chair of the council.
Max Johnson, parent.
Lois Burleson, school nurse, district nurse.
Tony Diller, parent and co-chair.
Guest.
I am Rick Sanders, licensed professional counselor, officed at the high school.
Nikki Valdez, community schools, and I'm officed at the high school.
Okay, perfect. Thank you. Just to make sure we're aware that we've met all TA guidelines, there was a 72-hour notice that was posted on our website, as well as our administrative office and the offices of all of our campuses. We have one member that is absent. Taylor Foss was not able to make it here today. Before we do anything else, we need to approve our minutes from our last meeting. I know I emailed that to all of y'all. Hope you had a chance to look at it. Does anybody have any questions, comments, or anything about the minutes that Mrs. Burleson provided for us? Okay, does anybody make a motion to approve them?
I'll motion to approve.
A second?
I'll second.
Any comments? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? It's unanimous. Perfect. We always start off our meetings with our reminder of our SHAC purpose. SHAC assists the district in ensuring that local community values are reflected in health education instruction and strengthens the connection between health and learning. In short, our goal is to assist the district in creating a healthy school environment. The topic that we've selected today to discuss is counseling, psychological, and social services, and that's why we've been invited Mr. Sanders and Mrs. Valdez. And so as of right now, I'll let whoever wants to start and share about your role at the high school and okay. In the district.
Okay, I will go ahead and start. We work together, Nikki and I, as well as Mr. Blakely, with the care program, in conjunction with all of the school counselors and principals, as well as the school nurse and all other support staff at the high school. And the way we kind of have it set up is kind of on a tier system, tier 1, 2, and 3. Mr. Blakely with Mentors Care tends to provide services for kiddos along the upper tier 1 type kids that have a lot of pretty strong attentional needs and validation with not necessarily huge significant mental health or other problems. Then we move into tier 2, which is where communities and schools comes in, which is where you've got some situational circumstances or some life circumstances that are problematic for kiddos that need some a different level of support than the traditional general population of kiddos. And I'll let her speak about that in a little bit. And then tier 3, which is the services that I provide, which include the more upper level, our suicide intervention, even though that happens sometimes at tier 2, it kind of moves into the tier 3 at that point. Some trauma, death circumstances within that our kids experience at school, any threats on our campus. I run the threat assessment team with our school marshals and officers, and all there's a certified team that determines a level of potential threat based upon a kind of a flow chart provided by Texas School Safety Committee, and we determine whether that threat is transient or serious or very serious, and there's a level of action that we take on each of those, as well as follow-up care for that. Another thing that we provide too is follow-up after mental health inpatient hospitalization for kiddos as well. I also am a licensed chemical dependency counselor, which is maybe kind of go into some of the things that we're doing, but we have had the level of, I guess, toxicity of our drugs and things that are available are so much stronger. Work real closely with our school nurse here on a lot of those things. So pretty broad scope of things that we do, as well as I was hired I'm an LPC, but was hired in the position of a licensed school psychologist, which provides a lot of special education assessments, representation of ARDS, behavior intervention plans, all those kind of things. So that falls underneath my scope, as well as a lot of other duties deemed necessary by Mr. Light at times. And
don't feel like a lone ranger.
So it my position honestly morphs a lot, and nothing's the same every day. Nikki and Mark are able to provide a lot more consistent services for kids, where mine is more short, brief, direct intervention. And a lot of my kids, we try to get them to seek a lot of services outside within the community. We're just not able to meet that level of need on a consistent basis, and especially with the number of kids we have for those.
You're not just high school, it's school.
Well, that's honestly in question.
Okay.
There's a lot of people who have their own idea of what I'm supposed to do. And so I am called to other campuses for certain
big needs or something.
Situations. Mm-hmm.
High school probably has most of your
needs. But I am called. I mean, when a lot of times when it's like, where do we go with this, what do we do,
I heard this,
and there's a lot of protocol in place and policy for a lot of things, but sometimes there are those cases just that, and so I do get called on some of those. Mm-hmm. So
like in the next couple of weeks, he's meeting with kids from both the junior highs and the high school, if the parents opted in, about sex trafficking, dating violence, family violence.
Right.
So he's going to instruct.
Right. It's required by law to be offered, but parents have to opt in because of the sensitivity of the
topics.
Yeah.
We appreciate you doing that.
Yeah.
Well, on average, how many kids do you see a day?
It just depends. Yeah. It just depends on kind of what is happening. I typically run didn't make handouts or anything, but this is a report that I had put together. Right now, like Mentors Care, the mentoring program, I think they run about, is it 60 or 70? 70. So they have space for, 70 kids. We make every effort not to duplicate our services, because those high need kids would suck everybody dry, and so each program tries to see different kids. A lot of times they will move up and end up with me or with Nikki. But then Nikki, you're at how many?
I've got about 85, but I can get up to 100. And I have about 10 more than they did last year.
Is that just high school?
Just high school. Yes.
Let me go ahead and interject this, since you asked that, Tony. We have Mentors Care at both junior highs.
Okay.
And this is brand new. We just got this. Community schools applied for a grant, and we were just notified in the last month that we will now have it on our four elementary campuses. It's a great deal. The grant pays 50%. And so now for those four new members, we pay of the remaining balance. Wiley pays 25%, and community schools pays 25%. Were you aware of that? Yeah, we just got that notification.
Yes.
So that's going to be a great deal.
And it is. It's going to be a huge, huge asset. I probably average throughout the year 200 to 250 kids that will, and that's not me seeing them all the time, but that's kids that will kind of come through my service. But like any kid that's ever had a threat assessment, whether it's an elementary or junior high or high school, they're followed all the way through. So they'll stay not on just on my caseload, but with our school marshals. And so those kids are monitored pretty heavily. And law requires us to keep those records for 7 years past the time that they graduate, or until they turn 25, for potential future information for crimes and different things like that.
So I guess you work pretty closely with the families also?
Yeah. If they're willing, yes. And most of the time they are, but we have some that aren't. I wanted to mention real quickly before I turned over to Nikki and answer questions is that we at the high school were the first high school in Texas to implement our school chaplain program, starting in January, I believe, is when we started it. Everybody's been very tentative and hesitant because of the label and everything. But it was designed, honestly, for more rural schools who didn't have access to mental health services or even school counselors. So they made it available that pastors and chaplains could come in to provide some of those, like a lapse in services stuff. Not on the academic side, but just on the general support side. And so we got, his name's Dr. Jay Miller. And when we brought him in, it's a volunteer. School doesn't pay anything for it. But they have to go through a pretty extensive training just to make sure that, because it's such a sensitive thing, and separation of church and state and all the things, that you've got to have the right person can make it great or kill it, you know, just depending on that person. He's been a great fit, really knows where to walk and be sensitive on some things. There's not really a job description for it. Our original thought was to just have him be a support for teachers, because a lot of times, just with our general population, we have a lot of teachers who struggle, a lot of teachers who are very fragile, and don't have the same level of coping skills that people have had in the years past. That's just the nature of our world. And so we have to provide some additional support for them as well to maintain their stability, to keep them to be able to provide for our kids. So that's worked out really well. It's not a high percentage of teachers that really take advantage of his services, but the ones that do are ones that really need that additional support and really seek him out. But we've had him go through, and basically, other than teachers, just make contact with every new student that comes into Wiley, all of our international students, exchange students, all of our ESL students, and also to serve as kind of a bridge in connection with parents on all of our truancy, like chronic truancy cases. And so that's kind of where we have kind of niched him in, and it's worked out really, really well.
Good.
We've had a lot of kids. The way the rules are set up is if spirituality questions are brought up, then the door is open for him to go there. Otherwise, he can't. But it's been so interesting. We've had a lot of kids, especially in the past few years, we've had some horrible deaths through accidents and suicides, and some of those kids who've questioned their belief, their, you know, have that door's been opened. It's been a really neat thing to see, because kids are seeking that out, you know, and without it being
with friends or
exactly. So that's been really good. We are also, one last thing is, I was approached last year by the Community Foundation about potential grant for social workers within the school district. My biggest concern with that is that it would just be temporary. You know, we get somebody in for a short amount of time to create services and fill a need, and then it gets yanked.
Yeah.
So, but that's still kind of in the talks. But I think with our chaplain, he's met a lot of those needs that we would have utilized those individuals for as well. And with Nikki and with Mentors Care, there's a lot of social work components within, you know, theirs as well. So any questions from me, and then I'll turn it over to Nikki.
Are there limits to the chaplain? Is there a certain number that we can get, or just so we have the right people?
Well, we just had a meeting with Mr. Light about that, because we do have interest of people who want to come.
So how do they have to sign up? Since he's not a volunteer, he's obviously not there all the time. So how
right.
is that?
He's a pastor of a small church.
Okay.
So he's been able to dedicate a lot of time initially just to kind of get things started.
Just being there.
But the way it's set up is you can have as many as you need as long as they go through the training, you know. But the inconsistency, I think, would be a problem, honestly. And I think maybe not so much on the younger campuses, because we had talked about just providing services for teachers only on some of those younger campuses.
Okay.
So there wouldn't need to be that same level of consistency.
Yeah.
But with those services, it's just we're trying to create a job description to protect the program.
Yeah.
And
that's difficult.
Yes, it is. It is because one
and him coming in as a Christian denomination, mm-hmm. does he get that training to be kind of neutral to
absolutely yes
Hindu
yes
yeah other religions as well,
you know, and that's now we have to, nobody can just come in, we have to accept and approve them.
Okay.
So I mean, I'm assuming anybody could request to come in, but would probably be denied. I mean, there's a lot of it. You have to tiptoe around this one
for sure.
And we've had a lot of schools that have been calling us, like, because AISD tried it and got nixed fast. Yeah.
Thank goodness the state approved it, but. And I'm kind of surprised that they did, but it's been awesome for a while. It has.
But some other schools have called us, like,
some
how?
Places it works, some places it works.
Well, and also, I think our approach is we slid it in, and we didn't make it. Oh, we have this big, which is what Abilene did. And, you know, so we didn't bring a lot of attention. We have had some questions about it. Like, wait, my kid met a chaplain at church? And, but we've been able to give a satisfactory answer to where it's not.
Yeah, this is what happened and how.
Right, exactly.
It
and
turned
it's,
out to be a good thing.
Exactly, and he's not, yeah.
He's not preaching to him right, or
exactly.
whatever.
Yeah.
It's approved and legal, so we're
yeah. yeah, it is. So, but that's been really interesting, but in a very good way. But we really want to, we've kind of been charged with the position of being the first school in Texas to do it, to keep it good, you
yeah.
know?
Yeah.
But anyway.
Positive.
Yeah.
One more before we get off from you. So it might be a difficult question to answer, and mm-hmm. I realize that. But with the numbers that you see, mm-hmm. what does your field of study, how many are we missing? How many are we not seeing or not getting support for?
A lot, but that's for a lot of reasons.
And some out of our control, I realize that.
Yeah, kids not wanting or accepting.
Correct.
Our cultural dynamics at Wiley are changing rapidly. And so, like, for example, our Hispanic population has really increased. Traditionally, the Hispanic culture is not one to accept, you know, and a lot of cultures are not. And so I think there's that. But that's why I love that Nikki's here, you know, and there are people that she can reach that I can't touch. Same place for Dr. J, same thing for Mr. Blakely. There's just not a connection. There's coaches and people that none of us can touch that they can touch, you know? But no, we're missing. We've got a lot of really great things in place, but we'll always miss some. Yeah. But if a kid needs a service, I think we've got something to provide it.
That comforts me to hear that answer, because anybody that says, oh, we've got 100%, they're not seeing.
There's no way.
You always have a need for counseling.
100%.
Mental health and mental support.
Right.
And anybody that says that they are complete with it, they're, they've lost the.
Yeah.
Why isn't that part of curriculum? Like, all from littles to bigs of teaching, like, mindset and just mental health classes these days. I mean,
it is, but in my opinion, it's no offense to anybody, but it's weak and it's canned and it's cheesy and it's not real. It's not applicable. Mm-hmm. It's fluff.
Yeah.
And that's a turnoff for all ages.
Yeah.
You know, and so our styles really complement each other, and it's just. Real, and it's not, you know, we don't get hung up in words and theories and this and that. It's, you know, it's relationship and just what we need to make it through and what works.
That's why it was so important we got the four new members of the
class. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah,
that's why I was so glad to hear that.
Yeah, a place that I do want to push this out there real quick is that we did the It Takes a Pack parenting program. Beginning of this year, all of that resulted off of a student who was arrested for fentanyl, one of our seniors, and we had a great response from that.
It was phenomenal.
Plan on increasing that next year.
Yes.
And why did I start talking about that? Lost my train of thought.
Like, because I put my little events that we do.
Yeah.
You were going to push something, you said.
We're really missing the boat on our young men, and we know that. We really need more buy-in from particularly, and this is not against anybody, it's just the natural way things have been through our athletes and through our ag program. And we've got a couple of things in place, possibly to look at. There's like for our athletes, there's this it's a personality profile that athletes in Major League Baseball and the NFL take, and it shows your strengths, your weaknesses in both personal, receiving coaching, relational, all these things. So you have to be real careful and or creative in how you spin the mental health part to those type of kids, but because there's got to be a reason for it. You can't be nice and talk about your feelings, you know. So we're looking at some things to do it that way, but all of our suicides have been young men, you know, and our last two have been within the ag program. Not that they're, it's just, it's, but that's kind of a man's world, and you just buck up and deal, you know. So we're trying to find some ways to pull, and we're having to do that through our leadership in that, which they're willing, but they don't know what to do either, you know. Yeah. So, yeah, but all that's a process to work with. So anyway, okay, sorry. Talk to Lev.
That's okay. Okay, so I am the community school advocate. Just a little bit, like, about me real quickly. My background, like, I've worked with kids at abuse and neglect. I have also done, like, mental health stuff, such as, like, crisis, case management, working with intense kids. I also did for several years working with, like, the domestic human trafficking, so I saw all of that coming through, like, one of the local organizations. So I kind of understand, like, a little bit as to, like, stuff that Rick has dealt with. I've dealt with just several things in my room, in my office, dealing with, like, anxiety, depression, like, grief and loss. Sometimes the kids just want to come in because they're overwhelmed. And, you know, I give them that moment. Like yesterday, we had one that just wanted to come in, left him alone. And, you know, we were checking on him, and then he finally opened up, you know, so what was going on. So that's just one thing that with my office, I've tried to, like, create, like, a calm room for them. Rick kind of makes fun of me, you know, with that. But, you know, I just I want it to be, like, more calm and comforting.
It's a very cool room. Mine's very sterile and quiet.
And so I just did it, you know, just because, you know, I want them to feel comfortable in there. Initially, I think it was just more created for, you know, having the kids come in. They're getting, like, their snacks, care packs, and that's just, like, snacks for the weekend to get them through. I'm helping kids out with, like, school supplies, clothes, just kind of, like, basic stuff. And I think more my job duties have kind of gone into, like, what Rick does too. And so I've helped kids. I've got, like I said, about 85. I've had, like, a little bit more, but they've moved. But I do have some kids that aren't in the program, and I always encourage them, you know, do communities in schools, you know, it'd be great, but I will never turn them away. You know, I always say, here's this form, send it to mom and dad, I can talk to them. I've got a couple that they're still on the fence about it, and I completely get it, because, you know, it's going back to the mental health, they don't believe in this. And I'm completely fine. I said, I don't mind visiting with them, but, like I said, you're always welcome to come in and talk to me. So that's one thing, you know, that they've done to come in. Something that Rick and I have done this year, of course, like he mentioned, with It Takes a Pack. We've got another meeting coming up next week, actually, to start planning for the next one in the fall. And so we're hoping just change stuff up a little bit, but, you know, just, of course, every time we're going to learn from it. We just put on the career fair last week for our students, which it was a really good thing.
It was.
Huge success.
Really well received.
Yes. We had about 50-ish people there, employment.
Mm-hmm. Different companies, yeah.
Different companies that came. And so it was just, I think it started out more like summer jobs, kind of getting the kids out in the real world, communicating, kind of using those skills that they need. And then we had, like, more long-term military, you know, coming in, just different jobs, more long-term technical trade. And so that was something that was really good.
I did the count. There was 613 kids that
came through.
that came through.
Yes. Yeah. So hopefully we can do this again next year. We have done like various tables just to deal with like grief awareness, just anything mental health. We try to do it throughout the school year. Yes. We have a bulletin board and it's just something like mental health, you know, just different things. Last month I got the kids to write stuff down, like what stresses them out. And so they were all just writing, you know, all sorts of little things. It was like a list or just one word, you know. So we've done just different things like that just to, you know, let them see it in different places.
Nothing to hide. Yeah.
Yes, right. Exactly. And so I think that's actually been pretty good. I've got a student and she's like, what are we doing this month, you know? And so I said, we'll work on it, you know, and Rick and I have talked about next month we'll, you know, plan out for each month, you know, this is what we're going to do. And, you know, because each month is just something, like we had one for men.
There's different programs, yeah.
Yes.
And awareness campaigns. Awareness
campaigns and stuff. And so it's been really neat, you know, just to do that. And the kids have been just really like, oh, you know, they'll tell you a story about it or, you know, just something. Mm-hmm. Yes. So it's been actually really good, you know.
One of the ones we did that was really neat was the, it was grief awareness and just the, we did this little activity where they tied a ribbon on a heart thing and wrote their loved one's name. And it was really neat to, and also very sad to see, like, I had no idea that you had such a fresh loss in your life. Had no clue.
And so this is just out for the whole school? Or
We do it. We always do it at lunch through the four lunches. And yeah, we bribe kids to come in with suckers and food and all the things and just, and announcements and all the things. Another one we did that I thought was really cool was we had students go out with a map of the school and have them indicate where they felt the most unsafe in school. It was very, very interesting to see because it was very common places.
You mind sharing?
Huh?
What were the places?
Some of them were certain hallways, like the 600 hall was one, certain areas of the 600 hall. There was an area where like ever all the halls meet, and like right there in the cafeteria, that gets real heavy and concentrated. Dressing rooms were one.
Did they mention doghouse?
There were some. It wasn't overwhelming, though. Dressing room, though. There were some specific teachers' rooms that were, and after investigating that a little bit more, it wasn't necessarily that they felt physically unsafe, just not comfortable, you know. So that wasn't always a bad thing. It just may have been a strict teacher.
Right, or you know, somebody that's in that class with them. It could be,
exactly.
Or the subject.
But Reagan's got a copy of that. So, but we shared that with our SROs and marshals and admin, and they picked up different
coaches,
you know,
about the locker room.
So that one was real interesting too. And another one I wanted to share real quickly about It Takes a Pack, kind of how this started was I went to Miss Barry one day and we have a young lady on campus that very heavy drug user. And I told Reagan, I said, that kid's going to die. She's going to die. And it was like on a Friday and Reagan came back on Monday. She goes, okay, this is what we're doing. She said, I thought about this over the weekend. She goes, her mama heart was just like, you know, she said, we got to talk to these parents. We can't just know what we know and not do something. So we scheduled with 10 different families that we thought were heavily, heavily involved. And Reagan started it out. She said, called them and said, I'd like to visit with you with Mr. Sanders and not about academics or behavior, just out of concern. So all these families come in and she said, we're going to either leave this meeting on the same page and join together, or you're going to be really upset with me. And I'm okay with either one because
saying the piece. Yeah.
Most of those parents, as soon as we start, the head drops. They don't know what to do. They thought they were in this alone, you know, and we had only one family that dodged us and have yet to come in. But everybody else, it's been, luckily, very powerful.
How many of them were absolutely surprised?
None. Zero. Because, like one of them, this lady, the young girl that I was concerned about, she had been taken to the hospital 3 times for overdoses since September, and we met with them in January. So, and most of it was all those were fentanyl stuff. So. Anyway, so and not to scare. These are this. That's a small percentage, you know.
Positives come out of that? Anybody?
With that particular young lady, no, because we have a parent that's
just for that meeting, though,
denial.
Of the 10 families.
Mm-hmm. I'm sorry?
Of the 10 families.
Oh, yes.
Yes.
Oh, yeah, positive. Definitely. There's a lot of...
opened eyes and...
One kiddo, yeah, that was sent to Betty Ford in Massachusetts. He's been there twice now. And two others that have been to treatment and others that are trying to do it on their own for various reasons. It was good. And just an openness of, if we're concerned, we're going to call you. If you're concerned, because we got kids walking in and we don't, you know, there's been this huge fight over this substance use or whatever. And then they're coming into, you know? So, but here again, that's a very small percentage statistically, but it's very dangerous and concerning though too. So
if I can add in there, that also opened the door as a school nurse for us to implement a Narcan policy, which is now a requirement. And so we implemented that policy and made sure that we had a rescue medication available on the campus.
In our DAP.
In our DAP.
Nurse's office.
In there, nurse's office. I did a quick training with administration and then I'm going to visit with Ms. Berry about if we want to do that, an annual training that we do with other things with district-wide. The law only requires it from sixth grade up, and thank goodness, we haven't seen anything as far as our junior high campuses, but just to go ahead and implement it. So we have the policy and we do have the medications.
Kudos on that meeting. Kudos on the...
All you do.
These two are outstanding. I commend y'all. I appreciate everything y'all do.
Well, thank you.
Absolutely genius. I'm going to talk. I've talked to a lot of parents that went to that and went, oh my God. There was so much information that was good there. They just wanted more. They did not want it.
And we didn't want it to be alarming either, you know?
Right.
Yeah.
I went as a parent, not administrator, and I stepped into the PALS room. They talked about everything. It made you feel uncomfortable. I don't know how many people took their children, because they were invited, correct?
Right.
But it was mostly adults.
Mm-hmm.
Boy, if we could, I think you're too, the numbers are going to significantly
increase.
You're
on to something that is.
And it's all, just like the chaplain, it's all in your, I think, in our approach with it. And luckily, with Reagan, Nikki especially, gets us in trouble because she goes in with all these ideas, and Reagan's like, yes, let's do this. And so luckily, we do have an administrator that will think outside of the box and trust
that
we will handle that appropriately and diplomatically. You know, and not stir the pot with stuff. Because, sensitive issues that can go haywire very
quickly. You want to do great
quickly.
Things, but you don't want to be on the front of the New York Times.
Exactly. So, I didn't mean to derail your talk there.
No, you're good. And I think with that, it takes a pack. We had a lot of resources that helped out with a lot of those issues. You know, we've talked about it, you know, just changing up a little bit so that way they can take that time to look at those resources, to know that they are available, you know, because a lot of times, like, the counselors will ask, like, hey, what about this resource? And, like, I have this big old, like, list of resources. I'm like, here you go. And so we try to invite as many as we could to that. So that way the families know, oh, you know, there is something for, you know, for my child, and I didn't know that, you know. So I think that's been just really helpful, and I'm hoping they'll come back, you know, those resources and maybe even more. You know,
a lot of the resources, I think it was helpful. They have this perception that Wiley's hard to get into.
Exactly.
Like, oh, we've been trying to get into Wiley. Well, who have you talked to? You know, and like we've got the street program from MHMR.
Yes.
We have a MHMR, Betty Hardwick has a fentanyl street program where they go to interventions on the street. And they come up every Wednesday and just hang out, primarily in the mentor's care room. And it's like addicts know who addicts are, even if they're not currently using. So those kids, they pick up on, they're in the know, you know?
Yes.
And they have an angle that we can't have because we're not in recovery, you know? And so that's been something. There again, we've got two great people that know their role and are going to respect it. And the wonderful thing about that, too, is one of those ladies in recovery was voted, what was it, the award she got? It was, like she went to Wiley.
Most likely to succeed.
And she said, and then my sophomore year, I'm addicted to meth in college. Wow. How did I get here? You know? Yeah. So her story coming from Wiley, you know, is incredible. She came from a good family, really good grades in school. And so we do see a lot of those pre-addict behaviors approaching your kids, whether they're not actively using now. Yeah. There's partying a little bit, no big deal. So anyway, it's we have a lot of those things that are really beneficial.
And they had a table, like a booth, like initially, like to kind of bring them in, introductions. Mm-hmm. And we had so many kids like going to them and just asking questions about them and just telling their stories. And I was like, this is really good because mm-hmm. it's Wiley, and you know, it's like, well, we don't want to talk about that kind of stuff. And that was kind of the mm-hmm. pushback that we thought we'd get with this. It takes a pack, but it was actually really good. And and they were there too, and you know, they were presenting mm-hmm. it takes a pack,
and we got no kickback from any mm-hmm. of that stuff either.
No,
zero.
A lot of positives I mm-hmm. was just seeing online.
It's outstanding.
Yeah, it's great.
So anyway, okay.
Great. Yeah, y'all shared a lot of good stuff. Appreciate it.
Yeah, we like to do it. So let us know anything and everything that we need to do or anything we need to address that we don't know about. We'll gladly do it.
Thank y'all for all
you
do.
Thank you very much.
Yes, thank you.
Got any more questions?
So you're just a portion of the counseling. We also have counselors that are like prepping for...
Like I'm not anything academic.
I'm not part of that yet at all.
At high school.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there's five academic counselors at the high school.
You're strictly on the mental health counseling.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was in private practice for 25 years prior to coming here. So,
okay.
Yeah.
Well, thank you for what you do.
Yeah, thank you. Mm-hmm. Yep, I've enjoyed it.
Mr. Vaughn recruited him. Pressed hard, didn't he?
Yeah, I fought a little bit too. So.
Not you.
That's right.
Just a few things before we adjourn. We already talked, but we need to do it for the recording. Is that we appreciate Max Johnson, his service for 2 years and being on this council, and we appreciate everything you've done, and we wish you well. And I would appreciate that recommendation of that person that you think
might
want to join us.
Yeah, I'm going back, and hopefully have something later on today.
Taylor Foss, who's not here today, will be on the committee council for one more year. Tony Diller has agreed to serve one more year. We appreciate that. Lois, you want to be the chair, you want to remain the secretary for next year?
I think
I. That was really a joke. I thought you would jump on the secretary.
I think
you want to run?
We're like, how bad is my hand cramping today?
They had a lot shared today, so you probably are.
Sorry.
Actually, I'll let you assign me, sir.
Okay. I think I'm going to stay as the chair. But thank you all very much, and I guess this meeting's adjourned.
Right.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
So what year did you finish A&M?
96. Yeah,
I got 91.
Got out in 90.